He saw and believed. It's a great joy to gather together on this Easter morning together with those of you from near, from afar, from the Catholic Church, or from another community. It's a particular joy to have Monsignor Moore join us for Mass this Easter morning as well. He saw and believed. What did he see? What is it that that other disciple saw that led him to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? Ironically, it may be what he didn't see that led him to believe. After all, the one thing he was looking for, the one person he was looking for, wasn't there. Could it be that an empty tomb says something about us, and the person who once filled it now wants to fill our emptiness? So what does it mean for something to be empty? Well, it usually means that it's something that could have been filled, or something that was once there that's now gone. So let's think for this morning about some examples of something that is empty. So I'm gonna offer some clues to a phrase of something that's empty. So this church is not empty this morning. So maybe some of our kids can help guess what this empty phrase is that I'm giving, okay? So kids, listen up. The first empty phrase, let's say that you haven't eaten all morning. You haven't eaten all day. And you're so hungry. You're hungry because you have what? Who can raise their hand? You haven't eaten all day. Haven't eaten all day, and you're super hungry. Why are you hungry? Because you have a what? What is it that you have? You have an empty stomach. That's right. Very good. That might be you this morning. So who knows? How about another empty phrase? Let's say that you told someone you were going to do something. You assured them you were going to do it, but you never did. What did you make in that case? You told someone you were going to do this, and you never did it. What did you make? What's our empty phrase there? Thinking about it? Got an idea? Way back there? Wow. So you told someone you were going to do it, and you didn't do it. What is it? You made an empty promise. That's right. I promised I was going to do it, and I never did. Could have filled it with living up to it, right? So one more empty phrase. One more empty phrase. Let's say that you've been living at home all your life, enjoying everything your parents do for you, have done for you, and then you turn 18 and you graduate and you go off to college, and now your parents have one of these. What do your parents have now? That's an empty phrase. What might that be? Anybody? What do your parents have now? That's an empty phrase all the way here in the back. What do they have now? They might have an empty bedroom. That's true. Yes, that's very good. That is. And what else might we call that empty bedroom? The whole house, in fact, might be what? What might it be? It could be an empty nest. That's true. Parents will never have one, right? You're just always going to be at home, of course. Could be an empty nest. Could be an empty promise. Could be an empty stomach.
But what about an empty tomb? An empty tomb. Does that mean that Jesus rose from the dead? Not necessarily. It just means that he's gone. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is the summary of the teachings of our faith, says that the empty tomb in itself is not a direct proof of the resurrection. The absence of Christ's body from the tomb could be explained otherwise. Someone could have just taken his body. In fact, that's what Mary Magdalene and others thought. But the Catechism continues, nonetheless, the empty tomb was the first step toward recognizing the very fact of the resurrection. That which is empty says something about that which was once there. And to one extent or another, that which is empty is us. If we weren't empty, then we wouldn't need to be here. If all the answers are to be found in the world, then we're all in the wrong place this morning. But I'm going to venture to say that you're here because you believe that there must be something more than this world. Now you might say, no, Father, I'm here because my mom's here. You know, I'm here because I wasn't sure where else to take my daughter in her beautiful dress this morning. And okay, your mom and your daughter are beautiful. But when we look inside, each one of us finds something empty. Not a stomach or a promise or a nest. The Second Vatican Council, which we celebrated 60 years ago, said that we are capable of achieving the best and the worst. And so all of us are here today because in one way or another, we realize that there must be more to life than our accomplishments, our possessions, or our appearance. How often do I focus on all or any of those three? My accomplishments, my possessions, my appearance. And so when one of those three is empty, I try to fill it up or make up for it with the others. Well, are we just going to keep doing that for 50 years or for 70 years or for 100 years? Because no matter how full it gets, I'm going to leave empty-handed. Which brings us back to the irony of the empty tomb. The fact that the other disciple didn't see Jesus there was the first step toward recognizing that he was risen. That's what so many of our brothers and sisters did last night when they came out of that baptismal font, or received the gift of the Holy Spirit, or were filled with the body and blood of Christ for the first time. Some of whom are already back with us again this morning, because they realized, as Pope St. Leo the Great said, that what was visible in Christ has passed over into the sacraments. The reason the tomb is empty is so that we can be filled. So you may wrestle with an empty stomach or an empty nest or an empty promise. But when you and I wrestle with the emptiness of the quest for accomplishments or possessions or appearance, know that that emptiness is not so bad. After all, the empty tomb was enough to know that there is more than this life. He saw and believed.